Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Powering Your Property, where we bring you the latest in property sector news and updates. Now, fewer new private homes in Singapore were sold last month compared to the month before, as Singapore's Phase 2 heightened alert measures kicked in. But as Singapore continues to step up on the rollout of vaccine and recently allowing COVID-19 measures to be further relaxed, how will the private property market fare in the coming months ahead? Well, to find out, we're joined by Christine Sun, Senior Vice President of Research and Analytics at Orange TNT, for more insights. Christine, welcome back to Primetime.
Hello.
Good to have you with us, Christine. So first tell us, according to data from the Urban Redevelopment Authority, fewer new private homes in Singapore were sold in May compared to the month before. Can you tell us about these numbers and the reasons for the decline?
Okay, the new home sales, if you compare month-on-month, it has dipped by 29.7% in May. But on a year-on-year basis, sales volume is actually higher by 83%. So it shows that last month's sales decline was actually not that bad. And the decrease in sales is mainly attributed to movement restrictions being tightened during the Singapore's heightened alert period. So during that period of time, there were stricter measures imposed in show flats and house viewings. So some of these measures include like having no more than 2 persons per group, including salespersons, for property viewings. So with fewer visitors and less viewings being carried out, so naturally sales volume will fall. Moreover, there were no major projects that were launched during the heightened alert period. So what we know is that last month, there were 3 projects that were launched, but they took place before the measures kicked in. So we know that sales usually increase when there are more launches for that month. So with no project launches after the once the heightened period kicked in, so naturally sales will be lower.
So Christine, talk us through some of the launches, price range and so on. For example, Park Nova sold, I think it was the 3rd priciest new condo, right? Can you share more on that?
Yes, right on that. Okay, for last month, there were 3 new projects that were launched. So they were Province Residence at Canberra Lane and 2 luxury projects like One Burnham and Park Nova. So these projects were launched before the heightened alert measures were put in place. There were ongoing sales at other launched projects, and the top selling projects include projects like Treasure at Tampines, Nomadum Park, Affinity at Serangoon, and the Florence Residence. So what we've noticed is that last month, there were more mass market and city fringe new homes that were sold. So the proportion of lower quantum units below $1.5 million actually increased last month. But on the other end of the spectrum, we have also noticed that the proportion of new homes sold for at least $3 million have also continued to rise. So it rose from 5.5% in March to 6.6% in April, and last month it was 7.7%. And in fact, we saw that 10 units of new properties for at least $10 million were sold last month. And this is actually the highest monthly sales for this $10 million quantum since March 2019. And you are correct, because last month we did see the 3rd highest price condominium being transacted at Park Nova. This is a 548 square meter, 20th floor apartment, which was transacted for $34.4 million or $5,800 over per square foot.
I had to take a double check there at that $34.4 million figure. So Christine, with more vaccines being rolled out though, and further easing of COVID-19 measures, do you think this kind of trend will continue? What's your outlook?
Okay, we are quite sanguine about the property market, because we feel that as the economy continues to pick up in the coming months, and interest rates will likely remain low for at least the next 1 or 2 years, we are expecting new home sales to reach about 10,000 to 11,000 units this year, which will be more than the 9,982 units sold last year. And moreover, what we have noticed is that recently, there are more HDB homeowners who have sold their flats, and they'll be looking for replacement homes. So we may expect more HDB upgraders to enter the market as well. So although there are fewer launches in the suburban areas, we have also observed that more HDB upgraders may be venturing into the higher tiers of the property market, such as buying private homes in the city fringe, or they may even be buying the smaller luxury homes.
We're speaking with Christine Sun, Senior Vice President of Research and Analytics at Orange T&T. Christine, just lastly, findings from Singapore's Census 2020 revealed last Friday, it showed that household incomes are rising and that there are more condo dwellers seen over the past decade. What are your thoughts on this? And do you think this trend will continue?
Looking at this historical trend, it seems to suggest that the proportion of residents living in condominiums may continue to increase. So there could be a number of factors, okay, apart from rising affluence. I think the supply of residential units could also be a contributing factor. So if you look at in recent years, there are actually more condominiums being built, especially after the last en bloc cycle. So many old residential sites were demolished to make way for newer developments. And usually these developments, they hold more units than before. But if you compare this with the HDB market, the number of BTO flats being launched for sale had not increased significantly. And coupled with the construction delays for some of these flats, there could be some impact on the number of residents choosing to buy newer HDB flats. So some of them may turn to HDB resale flats, some may consider buying older private apartments, or they may even buy smaller new condominiums that are relatively more affordable. And the other thing that we notice is that, of course, the younger generation, they tend to be more educated, and many are university graduates. So many of them may aspire to live in condominiums for the lifestyle, maybe the facilities or long-term investment return. So as we have more graduates over the next few years, we can expect more people to buy or upgrade to private homes in the future.
Wonderful. Well, Christine, thank you so much for sharing all of those insights with us today.
You're most welcome.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Christine Sun, Senior Vice President of Research and Analytics at Orange T&T. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.